We're going to start the show. I need some counseling from Dave and Jamie. I need your honest opinion. Am I making too much out of the crab legs photo? Because I thought it was really stupid and in poor taste and makes me doubt Jameis Winston. Just that little crab legs photo.
I think you're overthinking it. I think he was trying to be funny. It's his way of celebrating, overcoming all the BS that he went through in that situation. Now, obviously, there's other situations that he went through in college that are far more serious. It wasn't great, but it's not anything that I'm going to freak out about.
Jamie?
What's your objection to it?
I just think it's like, you put on this good behavior and you lose all this weight before the combine and before you get drafted, and then you finally get drafted and immediately you show no remorse and you tweet this picture of crab legs. And I just think he is such a phony. And he is tricking Tampa Bay. And look, obviously it's not just because of the picture of the crab legs, but my objection is kind of a dumb decision to do when you have so much scrutiny. That's your first act as an NFL player.
I don't care about whether or not he's a phony. I care about him putting up numbers.
Oh, but that's totally part of him putting up numbers. His
Why?
Attitude, his off-field translates to on-field 100%.
So you're saying he's going to be a phony quarterback?
I'm saying...
When the time comes, he's just going to throw a bunch of interceptions?
Saying...
Let me ask you this question, Adam, and it's totally uncomparable, but Tom Brady recently discovered Facebook. I know that's a new thing for most people, but he's had a lot of fun with it. Now, granted, his body of work is clearly defined, whereas Jameis Winston is as undefined as you get.
So then why are you even asking me? It's completely different.
No, but, I mean, is it in poor taste of players to have somewhat of a sense of humor?
No, but this is a specific situation where a guy has all this scrutiny coming into the league, and I just feel stupid for even arguing about this because it was only one picture, but it's everything with him. It's the big picture with him.
The fact that he took it down should also tell you something.
That he immediately regretted it.
Yeah, ours now.
Yeah, right.
Done.
Don't be a dork.
Well, he made a mistake then, and he made a mistake immediately. So can you
trust
this guy?
He's made a lot of these dumb mistakes.
Well,
and you could say, yeah, you could listen. He threw a bunch of dumb interceptions in college, too. And he made up for it in all but one game that he played.
And Pete Prisco talked about the interceptions yesterday on the draft show and said, watch the tape, and receivers had no idea what they were doing and took some of the blame off of Jameis Winston for those receivers. So he is number one. Today we're going to review the draft. If we have time, emails fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put football podcast in the subject line. And we got winners and losers provided by Jamie, critiqued by Dave, and we'll go.
I've got some winners and losers too, just in case we don't have. We're going to cover all the bases, Adam. We're going to cover every winner and every loser.
So just some notes: Marcus Mariota likely going to be the starter from day one. That's the plan right now for Tennessee. Todd Gurley won't be ready. The Miami Herald said he won't be ready for the first month of the season. And Zach Stacy wants to be traded. Plans to request a release or a trade, according to ESPN.
Hello, Dallas.
Yeah, interesting.
I tweeted that this morning. Why not? Why doesn't Dallas offer a 7th-round pick?
Right.
And Todd Archer, one of the beat writers for the Cowboys, he said that's just be a waste of a pick.
For Zach Stacy?
No. Yeah, he said they'll just get somebody better today.
Dave, yeah, if they do that, then they don't need Zach Stacy. Sure.
I would still make that. I'd inquire about that. Still draft somebody and then cut Joseph Randle.
So let's dive right into the winners and losers. Jamie's got 5 winners here. Lamar Miller, Isaiah Crowell, Melvin Gordon, Kevin White and Jay Cutler, and Derek Carr. Lamar Miller, Isaiah Crowell, Melvin Gordon, some running backs there. Kevin White and Jay Cutler and Derek Carr. All right, go ahead, guys. Let's talk it out.
Well, I think Lamar Miller benefits with Gurley not going there. You know, that was the two guys they were looking at least rumors prior to draft were Gurley and Devontae Parker, and the Rams probably made the decision for them when they took Gurley, unless the Dolphins were trying to trade up, which it didn't seem like that was a situation that they needed to do. So as of now, Lamar Miller to me is a winner. They're still going to add a running back, I would assume, based on what their thinking is.
Wouldn't be so bad if they didn't, but you're right. I just hope that it's not. I hope it's not like Duke Johnson or somebody like that who could really challenge Lamar Miller for a big chunk of the workload.
Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen what they're going to do, you know. But if they're looking at a day 3 running back, it makes Lamar Miller better. If it's a day 2 guy, then his impact is going to be, not as good as it was after Thursday night.
Yep. And so, so far, so good for Lamar Miller.
Correll gets some offensive line help.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've talked about this a lot, Adam, and I totally agree with you. You know, when you have that offensive line healthy like last year, and now you're adding pieces to it, you know, it's pretty clear what they're going to do, and they're going to run the ball a ton. Everybody knows that, but, you know, you see this with a lot of teams with running backs. I think Isaiah Crowell is going to be a very good, if not great, value pick for a lot of fantasy owners in that round four, round five range. He was very good last year when he got double digits in carries, especially early in the season when Alex Mack was healthy. And then, you know, like that whole team, they fell apart in the second half offensively, running the ball, which was their strength. And I think they're going to be very run dominant again. Crowell's going to beat out Terrence West because he's better than him. And I just really like the outlook for him going into this year, the fact that they're adding pieces to what their strengths are.
I wonder if the drafting of Cameron Irving is a prerequisite to trading Alex Mack, because he's in the last year of his deal before he can opt out. Maybe. But
he would bring back something in the neighborhood of a first round pick.
But why would they have done it already? They didn't draft. I mean, they would have done it yesterday after they drafted Cameron Irving. They haven't had that much time.
It's entirely possible that they would have, or maybe they would think about it now if somebody comes calling with a first-round pick in 2016. Maybe they'd consider it. Otherwise, Alex Mack is going to walk after this season because he's going to want a new contract. He's probably going to be tired of playing in Cleveland. That's just a guess. Maybe he loves it. Maybe he stays. But Irving is a good center. He can play guard for a year if they stick with Alex Mack. And then when Mack leaves, if Mack leaves, whether they trade him or not, Irving can kick into center. So it's a good move. Yeah, I think it's a smart pick for the Browns. It's just not a sexy pick. It does help their run game, obviously.
Yeah. They took a defensive tackle, Danny Shelton, with the 12th pick, and then they took Cameron Irving with the 19th pick.
I like that pick, by the way.
They have to. They have to take a wide receiver in round two. I mean, it's ridiculous already.
Do you think they've got the guts to take Dorial Green-Beckham?
If they don't take him, they could take Devin Smith. There are good wide receivers available.
Devin Smith would be a fun pick for them.
Just somebody, because I don't really like what they did on day one. They did have the worst run defense in the NFL last year, so I get Shelton. Right. But I just think they need skill position players. They're so boring.
Yeah, but
you
know what? Everything else for them is so solid outside of quarterback and wide receiver, which is obviously the things that you need in the NFL right now. But they had a good formula for success last year. They were in very competitive games, very competitive situations early. And then again, you know, things just fell apart for them. So, I think they're like, you know, when you look at the Browns, like comparatively to, let's say, Jacksonville, because Jacksonville's loaded skill position players. They have their quarterback, but they stink pretty much everywhere else.
Right.
And, you know, those two teams, they could, you know, work some trades, may end up with a pretty complete roster. But I kind of like what Cleveland's doing outside of the key spot, which is quarterback.
All right, let's talk about the rookie running backs here, the two that were taken in the first round. You have Melvin Gordon as a winner. You do not have Todd Gurley as a winner. In fact, you have Gurley and Trey Mason as losers. What is your read on these situations? Is Gurley as a Ram and San Diego traded up to get Melvin Gordon 15th overall?
They must have felt that either somebody was going to leapfrog them or that Houston was going to pull the trigger on Gordon, because it was pretty clear San Francisco was not by their willingness to trade down. It would have been really, really bad for both Arian Foster and Melvin Gordon if the Texans went ahead and drafted him. Not sure that they would have, but you never know what the Chargers were hearing, why they decided to make the move.
Could the Texans have been involved maybe in a trade to move down, and somebody else would move up to get Gordon at 16,
Know what was being speculated, but Arian Foster is not exactly young, and if the Texans were in love with Melvin Gordon, maybe that was a move they were going to make. In any event, the Chargers saw their guy. They wanted to go get him. I think we can, you know, I'll sit here and say it's a very good, if not great, landing spot for him, because it's a good offense. It's a good division. I liken it very similarly to, and I really think this helps Danny Woodhead tremendously, because he was so good 2 years ago, 76 catches, had over 400 yards rushing, was the number 19 running back in standard leagues. I think his role is exactly the same, and I think he's tremendous value with a late round pick, mid round pick in PPR leagues. But Ryan Matthews that year, 26 catches. I think you could probably say Gordon can go from 19 in his last year in college to 26, not asking a ton for a guy that only has 22 career catches. Matthews that year had about 260 carries, 1,200 yards rushing, scored, I think, 6 touchdowns. Gordon should be able to do this in his sleep. And Matthews that year was the number 12 running back in standard leagues. We know the work he got toward the end of the year. They ran their offense through Ryan Matthews. So I think Gordon kind of slots into a similar role. I don't know. I'm not going to project him the high. I'm assuming you're not going to project him to be the number 12 running back. But
no, I think I got him at 16.
He could be a top 15 type of guy that you don't have to draft in that spot. And I think that's what makes him so attractive in still being just a first and second down type of guy with the ability to have a couple catches. And if Woodhead gets hurt again, that really is going to open up the door for him to maybe get to close to 30 catches. I think that's a stretch, but I really like the landing spot for him, and I'll stop there if you want to just wait to go to Gurley.
Well, the one other thing I'd add about Gordon is he's also going to work the goal line.
Oh,
there's
of course,
nobody
yeah.
else in San yep. Diego who can work that goal line, and I can't help but think that he's going to get a lot of opportunities there.
Great spot for him.
It's a really good spot for him, and it's really good for fantasy. It adds another running back. I don't know if he's got 20 touch potential from week to week, but at least 15. With the goal line work, it's going to put him in range. I wonder if by the time August runs around, he'll be higher than a third-round pick. Because as it stands right now, I think he's pretty much in there. I think he's a third-round pick.
You'd take Lamar Miller or Melvin Gordon right now?
As of now, it's still Miller. But if things go kablooey in that Dolphins backfield because they add somebody, then I think it's got to be I think Gordon would have a shot.
You take Joik Bell or Melvin Gordon right now?
Bell.
Bell.
And Detroit upgraded their offensive line yesterday. I wanted to say one thing about Melvin Gordon. I was looking up the defense.
That he went to Wisconsin, right?
Well, he went to Wisconsin. He seems to be, he's not like the big plotter that Monte Ball to a degree is and Ron Dayne was, but he did go to Wisconsin. He averaged 7.5 yards per carry last year, 7.8 yards 2 years ago. He faced absolutely horrible run defenses over the last 2 years, and especially last year. There are 127 or 128 teams in the FBS. I'll just read you the ranks. 47, 101, 85, 72, 118, 99, 108, 93, 66, 76, 34, that was Ohio State, and 69. Those are the defenses he faced last year, and he didn't do very well against Ohio State. 26 for 76. 26 carries, 76 yards. I found similar trends 2 years ago for Melvin Gordon when he faced good run defenses, even top 40 run defenses, not great run defenses. He kind of struggled. And he's, I don't know. I see him more as like, even though he didn't have a lot of catches, I don't see him as like an in between the tackles kind of guy. I have some doubts about him, especially when you look at San Diego. They averaged the fewest yards per carry in the NFL last year, so
well they didn't have a running back,
but they might have had some offensive line problems to go with that.
They've addressed that this offseason too.
I think you got to look at I found the comparisons very shocking, but almost everybody, every major NFL organization that covers the NFL, us included, you hear Jamal Charles. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That does make sense to me. I completely agree with that comparison. I think there is pass catching potential here for Melvin Gordon. I don't want to see him used as I want to see him used like Jamal Charles. I think he's got that ability.
Well, but Charles is an every down back who is willing to keep it inside.
I don't see Jamal Charles.
Charles is definitely an edge hitter. There's no question about it. But I think he'll also work very well. And I think Gordon's got good size. I think he can
doesn't,
learn.
He
to
doesn't
work
have to be.
Tackles.
He doesn't have to be Andre Williams. I mean, he doesn't have to be three yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
So if he goes from 7 yards a carry in college to, 4.5 in the NFL, it's not like he's in a division that's world beating against the run, So I think you got to look at where he landed, the team he's with, the comparison to Gurley, which is why I think he's a loser, is there's weapons around him in San Diego to, necessarily soften the defense. You have a legit quarterback. You have a tight end that can, get down the middle of the field, if not two. You have receivers on the outside that are going to, make defenses respect them. So I think, Gordon, like I said, top 20, top 15 fantasy potential. The one concern would be is, as good as Ryan Matthews was that season, Danny Woodhead was a step behind him, without having to do a lot carrying the ball. If they're behind, if their defense is bad for San Diego, then you're going to see him off the field probably more often than not.
Okay. So, you've got Kevin White and Jay Cutler. All right, let's stay on Gurley. Let's stay on Gurley first. You have him as a loser. What do you guys expect from Gurley? Dave, I'll let you kick it off. What do you expect from Gurley in year one?
There seems to be concern that he won't be ready to go for the start of the season. Could potentially begin the year on the PUP list. That's going to be something to watch. And the Rams don't have to use Todd Gurley right away. They have Trey Mason. and they can begin the year with Trey Mason and then do what they've done each of the last two seasons, which is introduce a new running back in week five and let that guy take off. So anybody who has plans to draft Todd Gurley in a seasonal league, I hope they're patient, because it's going to take him a while to actually get on the field, or at least it sounds that way right now. It's going to take him a while to get on the field and start to make plays. Now, once he's healthy and once he's on the field, there's a whole new set of problems. The offensive line in St. Louis, not good. Right? The linemen in San Diego were laughing at the linemen in St. Louis. Quarterback situation in St. Louis, not good. Receivers in St. Louis, a lot left to be desired. So I think defenses are going to have no problem focusing in on Gurley, and then they're going to focus in on Trey Mason too when Mason is in there. And I think they're going to have success, because I think it's going to be hard for the Rams to move the ball through the air. I think it's going to be hard for their offensive line to really make way for them. It's still a tough division. Seattle and Arizona's run defenses are going to be solid. San Francisco, you know, I don't know what they're going to end up being, because they lost a bunch of linebackers, but we'll see what they look like after the draft. And they do get Navarro Bowman back, and that'll help them out a lot. So I think it's just, it's brutal. It's going to hurt Gurley for this year, because he's not going to play a complete season. And, you know, the way Jeff Fisher put it is, this is a special talent. We want him here. We're not going to pass on him. He didn't want to make that mistake. It's an old school head coach with an old school mentality. This is the guy who drafted Eddie George and, you know, used him for 8 years and ran him into the ground. And I think that's what we're going to see from Gurley. Long term, I love it. 2015, I don't know how soon I'm going to look to add Gurley to my fantasy team. It could be, I might not get him. I purposely might not get him, because someone else in my drafts might be so excited over him that they'll take him before I would consider him.
Now, Dynasty, who are you taking first? Gurley or Gordon?
I think it's got to be Gurley in a Dynasty.
I would agree.
Even with all these factors that I'm saying, it's really all for just this year, because eventually the Rams will bulk up that O-line. Who knows who they'll draft? You know, maybe they'll take the chance on Lyle Collins and everything will work out with him. And boom, they've got a first-round caliber tackle on their team. And maybe that's their plan. And that would help if that's how things ended up. Gurley's talent can't be denied. He's a great running back. And it's like I wrote about back in March or early April, whenever I wrote this, whenever I studied Gurley. When's the last time an ACL in college really crushed a running back's career in the pros? It's been a long time. And I don't think this is going to hold Gurley back at all.
Jamie.
It's just a matter of his opportunity really coming to him. And I don't know if that's going to happen so soon.
Jamie, talk about the impact on Trey Mason and where you would consider drafting him now. And obviously we have 6 rounds of the NFL draft left that will change things. But, you know, just for fun, what are you thinking now about Mason?
Well, if we're going on the assumption that Gurley's out for the first month, you know, or 4 games, I think, you know, Mason is mid-round worthy for a team. You know, like if you're the Le'Veon Bell owner, you don't want to go with D'Angelo Williams. That's a great replacement to go Trey Mason. You know, the kid's going to be hungry. He's going to want to prove that he's still the best running back in St. Louis. I spoke to him this offseason. You know, he said his goal was to break records like he did at Auburn. I mean, you're talking about a kid that broke Bo Jackson's records in college, which says something, you know, that you have the ability to go into a school like Auburn, who's got great history of running backs, and you have, you know, the best single season record. So there's still potential there for Mason, and I think this also hurts Gurley, is that while they will, you know, as Dave said, accurately so, run him into the ground, I don't think Mason just gets completely put on the bench like Zach Stacy did, because Mason, I think, still brings something to the table. So, he's still going to get work. It's just, you know, if Gurley's healthy from week one, Mason's a late round flyer.
I know Dave's going to like this analysis. You want Trey Mason's first 4 games of the season? Sure. Seattle at home.
Yeah, this is nasty.
At home's different though, because he was really good at home last year, including against Seattle.
Are you gonna be confident starting him against Seattle at home?
I don't think anybody's gonna feel comfortable starting Trey Mason, even if he's the number one guy. You wouldn't be drafting him as such. But if you're in a 16-team league and you drafted Le'Veon Bell in the first round, and the only guy you have is Mason or D'Angelo Williams, I may go Mason, not knowing what Pittsburgh's schedule is, but I like Mason's talent certainly much better.
Seattle at home at Washington, they were great against the run last year. Pittsburgh at home and then at Arizona. Not a great way to start the season
no,
for Trey Mason.
Not a great way to start. And that actually makes me like Gurley a little bit more. If he misses out on those 4 games.
Yeah.
And then week 17.
Aren't the Rams at Seattle in week 17? Couldn't run on the road last year.
But they didn't have Todd Gurley.
Huh?
They didn't have Todd Gurley.
They also lose 2 home games, though, if Gurley's out for those.
Where would you draft?
Two road games too.
Are you looking at him
in round four? Where is he? What's his health status? That's what I need to know first.
If he's not on the PUP list, but he doesn't play the first 4 weeks of the season.
Oh, round six at the earliest.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Steelers are at New England, home against San Francisco, at St. Louis, home against Baltimore. FYI. Okay, Kevin White, Jay Cutler. So the Bears did take that wide receiver with the 7th overall pick. And by the way, good job by the Jets. I don't care that you already have a good defensive line. Good for you taking Leonard Williams.
Best player available.
So, Kevin White or Amari Cooper, who do you guys like right now?
Cooper.
Cooper, but it's not that far off. I think Kevin White, to me, has the best Odell Beckham chance, if you're looking at it, from the comparison from a year ago.
Okay.
Yep. He's a little bit of a wild card. You don't know what you're going to get necessarily from Kevin White, but he's got a quarterback who's not going to be afraid to put the ball in different situations for him to take some chances. He's not going to see a lot of double coverage because of Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett. And he's got that, you know, physical nature to him where he can make some, you know, acrobatic catches and certainly some dynamic plays. He, you know, and I don't want to by any stretch make the, comparison to Beckham, but, you know, you're going to look at this, a lot of people are going to look at this class and try and say, okay, who's the next great guy? Athletically, Kevin White could be that guy. He's very raw. Amari Cooper is a much more polished route runner. I think Nelson Agholor is a much more polished route runner as well. But, it's a good landing spot for a guy who, you know, is, we'll see how the Adam Gase system compares to the Mark Trestman system from how many times they'll allow Jay Cutler to throw the ball. But if they're still pass happy, to a certain extent and Kevin White can see, you know, 6 to 7 targets a game, he's going to put up some decent numbers. He's not going to be a week in, week out starter for your fantasy team, but I like the landing spot for him because there was a need. There's still, you know, a good quarterback there, that will help receivers, not necessarily help himself, but, I just like the spot for him.
I do too. I especially like that he didn't go to Oakland because if he's in Oakland, then immediately he's the number one guy. He's going to draw the number one corner every single week.
Yep.
And he's not ready for that. In Chicago, he's not going to see that necessarily. And if he does, then Alshon Jeffrey is going to have some monster weeks. So the focus won't be all on Kevin White. I think that also means that the targets won't necessarily be there either. Now, Jamie said 6 to 7 targets. That's fine. That might mean that we're talking about 4 to 5 catches a week for Kevin White. I don't know if he's going to be able to dominate the same way Odell Beckham
did. Again, I don't want to make
on that type of targets. Sure. But, you know, if Alshon regresses and, you know, he's probably not going to be put in a role where he's running deep all the time because White is that guy that's going to take the top off the defense, then we could see White potentially get more targets and get better numbers and really become a better, fantasy football superhero. He's not my favorite wide receiver to draft among the rookies. In fact, he's not even second in seasonal leagues. He's third. But I do obviously see the potential and long term. I think it's actually good for Jay Cutler long term. I think this might be the Bears saying, you know what?
The onus is on him even more so.
Right. If he can't do it with Jeffrey, with Kevin White, and if Martellus Bennett's there with Bennett too, and then he's just not going to get it done. Yeah, and Forte too. The one other thing that I just can't help but think about the Bears offense is that they're going to try and protect Cutler from himself and just try and run a very simple offense. And maybe that means putting Kevin White in situations that he can thrive in early on. Short screens, bubble screens, slants. He did a lot of that at West Virginia. Just give him the things that he did at West Virginia right off the bat and then add to it as he goes along. And if he succeeds, then, you know, you're off to the races.
Adam Gase is not afraid to call those plays either, as we saw with Demaryius Thomas a ton last year.
Yeah, that's a very good call.
Let's talk
White
about
to,
the
White to me is like a middle of the draft pick in seasonal leagues, standard leagues, like round 8-ish.
Let's talk about the rookie wide receivers in general. Cooper to Oakland. Does it concern you that Oakland is Oakland, you know, and they have not had a 1,000-yard wide receiver since 2005, Randy Moss. Darius Heyward-Bey almost got there in 2011. You got Cooper in Oakland, you got White in Chicago, Devontae Parker at Miami, Nelson Agholor goes to Philadelphia. I love that. Perryman to Baltimore and Dorsett to Indianapolis. The stupidest pick of the first round. You have got to be kidding.
Yeah, you and Jamie are going to rant on this one.
Worst pick of the first round by far, in my opinion.
And this guy, Grigson, is just clueless sometimes. I mean, wow, did you not need that pick? And then to see the Patriots take a defensive tackle a few picks later, Malcolm Brown, that they certainly could have used in Indianapolis. I mean, just what a stupid pick. But how would you rank the rookie wide receivers right now, 1 through 6, that were taken in the first round?
I like Cooper number one. I think he's ready. I think he can handle this top role. And I think Oakland's going to play from behind a lot. And the one difference between all those wide receivers after Randy Moss and what Cooper is stepping into is quarterback. Yeah. Oakland hasn't really had a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not calling Derek Carr a great quarterback, but I'm calling him better than average. I'll call him above average. Does that sound good? Is that fair?
I like
him. Derek Carr an above average quarterback. And he didn't have great numbers last year, and he didn't have a great receiver last year. So I think Cooper, you want to talk about a guy who might be able to get 9, 10 targets a game and really do something with it?
He better.
He should.
It feels very similar to what we saw last year with the Bills taking Sammy Watkins, who was considered the best receiver in the draft.
Yeah, but he didn't have a quarterback.
Totally agree. But Watkins had all the expectations. You know, I mean, you look at where fantasy owners drafted the rookies last year. Maybe Mike Evans was taken ahead of him. Certainly Kelvin Benjamin was not. Obviously Odell Beckham, because the hamstring injury, was not. But Watkins had 68 catches, I think it was, 960 some odd yards, and 6 touchdowns. I think Cooper can get to that, but that's not going to make him a starting caliber fantasy option week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you rank him?
He's the number 3 receiver for me. I've got him ranked 30th.
1 through 6.
Cooper is my 1. Rashad Perryman is my number 2.
Frying pan hands, Perryman.
White is just behind him at 3. I've got Parker at 4, Aguilar at 5, and then your favorite pick, Mr. Miami to Indy, Philip Dorsett, number 6.
Let's be clear, and I feel the same way that the Indianapolis sports writers feel, because they are ripping the pick. I have no problem with Philip Dorsett. It's just, it was not a need pick for the Colts. They need defense. They took a pick that they did not need. They're good at wide receiver. All right.
Yeah, but this
they're
is
not
a
good
guy.
At wide receiver. They're great at wide
receiver. Yeah, they're great at wide
receiver. This is a pick for the future. What Gregson basically did was just stick a middle finger up at Chuck Pagano and said, "You're in a walkier. I'm not doing anything to help you."
And Dorsett always gets compared to T.Y. Hilton. That's the funny thing. It's like, well, he could be a T.Y. Hilton.
Well, that's the other thing. He also stuck his middle finger up at T.Y. Hilton and said, "Bye, Andre Johnson, your future here, not so long. Daron Carter, you know, we're probably going to cut you." I mean, there's a lot of things at play here that just don't make any sense.
It's so stupid. Jamie, how would you rank the 6 wide receivers?
Cooper right now is number 1. I like White too. 2 through 4 is kind of, you can make a case for any of these guys to be 2, because I think Devontae Parker's got such high potential going to the Dolphins. I think Jarvis Landry's still the better guy there, just because of the amount of times he should see the ball and the, you know, rapport he has right now with Ryan Tannehill. But Parker's going to make things really interesting for that receiving core, and certainly for Tannehill. I just think the Dolphins are going to spread the ball around a lot. That's not going to help him in his first year from a fantasy perspective. I agree with Dave on Perryman. There's a lot to like here. You know, he basically is a Torrey Smith type of clone. I don't think he's better than Torrey Smith where Smith was, but he may be better than Torrey Smith coming into the NFL. He's just got to prove he can catch the ball, because right now his
he dropped 8 passes on 56 targets or something like
that. Yeah, that's not good.
No, that's not. But There have been encouraging reports. His pro day, he was flawless. And he also made a lot of circus catches in college. He didn't have a great quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to be fine. It's just a matter of, you know, where you're stacking him up. The good thing for him is Trestman and Flacco are two very good guys. However, you know, is he going to have any sort of a polished route running skill, you know, outside of running deep, which everybody knows he's fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my concern about him, which is why I think he's 4th for me.
What was that?
I would go Cooper, White, Parker, Perryman, Aguilar. You want to talk about your history of Wisconsin running backs. You know what the history of USC receivers are?
I was just going to bring that up. I was just going to bring that up, yeah. But
there have been 9 guys drafted in the first 3 rounds since 2000. I don't know all the names. I can give you the ones that I remember.
You got Dwayne Jarrett. Dwayne Jarrett, Mike Williams. Robert Woods.
Damien Williams.
How about R.J. Soward?
R.J. Soward is
the
worst
one. Oh, my gosh.
Dwayne Jarrett.
Right, yeah.
Dwayne Jarrett.
I said him.
Wait a minute. He went to USC?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who am I thinking of that went to LSU?
Dwayne Bowe.
I guess. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's bad. I know it's bad.
It's a bad track record.
It's a horrible track record.
But Aguilar is just a different type of receiver than those guys. Look, he's more than just an athlete. Look, he's a football player.
Hopefully he's he breaks the trend and is closer to what's his name from the Jets draft in the number one overall? Keyshawn Johnson. It's a great fit. You know, I don't like the Jeremy Maclin comparison, because while he could be as good as him, he's not going to be as good as him right away. Mm-hmm. And it makes things interesting, because one of their best assets last year was Darren Sproles returning punts. And all you heard on the from the draft was, you know, Aguilar can return punts. That's a strength of his. Do they mess with what they have in Sproles, who was so key in that role for them?
Is this another strike against Sproles? And could this be a player that's
Sproles,
on the...
Sproles for years has been one of the most overrated fantasy options, unless you play in leagues that get return yardage.
Right.
So he's great for his team. He's just not necessarily great for fantasy owners. He had a couple of good years in New Orleans. That's about it.
I did have a fun thought, and I think I'm going to try and do this in a lot of my fantasy drafts. You look at how Chip Kelly's done in his first 2 years in Philadelphia. There's been one amazing wide receiver.
Well, Matthews was pretty good last year.
And Matthews was pretty good, but we really had the amazing one with Maclin being that guy.
I don't know, though, because Cooper, the year that DeSean Jackson was the
Cooper had
best.
Some good numbers, too.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try and grab both Matthews and Aguilar.
Not a bad plan.
In my drafts, because I can get Matthews at a pretty good value compared to a lot of other receivers, and Aguilar I can snag late. Definitely past the midway point of my fantasy draft. So if I can grab both of them, I should have at least one very good receiver on my team, and possibly two.
Is Jordan
and
Matthews?
I will dance in the hall.
Is Jordan days. Matthews ahead of the rookie wide receivers?
Jordan Matthews is top 20 guy.
Okay. Well, that's why I was confused. You said you could get him at a good value. I don't know that you can.
Oh, I think like round four, round five is a pretty good value.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. What's your name? Damie. Jamie. Real quick on Derek Carr, who you listed as a winner. I want to speed things up a bit so we can talk about the losers and the quarterbacks here.
I think Carr could potentially sneak into the top 15 of quarterbacks. Nobody's drafting to be a starter, but if you're into streaming quarterbacks, you know, and let's say you take a couple of number two guys, Phillip Rivers, who gets off to great starts but then stinks at the end of the season, you could consider a guy like Derek Carr. Nobody's going to be excited to draft him, but I do think waiver wire, deeper leagues, he creeps into the conversation now because they finally gave him, as Dave said, a legit number one guy.
Are you guys going to move Ryan Tannehill up?
No, he's still 12 for me.
He's in my top 12 already. Let me see if I'm gonna take a look at this.
He had 7 games last year with 20 or more fantasy points and 7 games with 15 points or less, and I think that's kind of what he is.
Yeah, but I like
I don't know about that.
That he has now. I like it better than what he had last year. I've got him 12th. There's no chance I would take him ahead of Eli Manning or Tony Romo. Stafford versus Tannehill, I don't know if I'm willing to pull the trigger on that. However, if I do find myself, 6-7 rounds into my draft and I still don't have a quarterback, now I'm looking for Tannehill along with somebody like Stafford, Rivers, Palmer, Bridgewater, maybe even Cutler in that mix too, and platoon with 2 quarterbacks until one of them finally does something good. And it might be Tannehill. There's a lot of people who really like him.
They should.
And they should. I think the offensive line will be okay. I think the receiving core is better than it was last year. It's a lot better, actually.
I just wonder if he's going to run as much, because that really took him to a different level fantasy-wise.
Yeah.
When he was running last year,
I'm going to say, I don't know if he runs as much, but I think he runs a good amount. I think he can still get you 2 or 3 fantasy points a week from his legs.
You mentioned Eli Manning, and the Giants took Ereck Flowers, a tackle, 9th overall. They project him to
love that pick.
Do you like this pick more or your cats?
I do like the pick, and I'll tell you why. Obviously he's a Hurricane, but I say it all the time. I think Jerry Reese is a pretty bad general manager, but the one thing he does well, he almost always, does very well in the first round. His first round picks are really good. Last year was Odell Beckham, but he's had a very good track record. So I believe in it. I think it's a good pick. Might take a little while to pay off, but I think it should help Eli Manning.
Of course.
And, so there
and
you go.
And that helps the entire offense.
Let's talk about Mariota and Winston. And who do you guys like better in a dynasty league? Because, let's be honest, probably not drafting these guys in redraft leagues.
I might think about drafting Crab Legs.
Yeah, people might.
I like where he landed. I don't like his offensive line.
But I like his
offensive coordinator a lot. It's Dirk Cutter. He usually makes the most of the strengths of his offense, unlike a lot of other coordinators in this league that try and fit square pegs into round holes. Love the receiving core for Winston. I even like Austin Seferian Jenkins, because Winston has a good track record of using his tight end. He did it in his pro-style offense at FSU, and I think he's going to continue to do that in the NFL. He might be a quarterback that I would throw into the mix of guys I would consider platooning. It would take some stones to take him ahead of, you know, Colin Kaepernick or Jay Cutler, so I don't think he's quite there. But in a 14-team league, if you're going to wait and wait and wait on quarterback, Winston might be one of the guys you snag with a late pick.
You cannot. As your starter or as a backup?
As a back. It's going to be as a backup. But, like, Bridgewater and Winston. And I'm talking a deeper league. I'm not talking a shallow league.
Okay, that was the point I wanted to get across.
Okay. No, I'm not taking him ahead of, like, Phillip Rivers or Tannehill. That's a little nuts. Even if he has a good camp, I'm not going to do that.
We have talked about schools that don't produce good players at a certain position, like Wisconsin running backs and USC wide receivers. I will say that Oregon skill position players have been awful. They have failed to produce almost every single time. I mean, the best ones are Jonathan Stewart and LeGarrette Blount. But guys like Jeff Mail and maybe DeAnthony Thomas is something, but LaMichael James. I mean, it is time
and
time
again. But you're
also
naming guys that weren't big fantasy prospects.
I know, but I'm
like,
also naming guys
who Mayo when he was drafted.
They probably got to the NFL and they were like, "Oh, wait, people are covered in the NFL? This is a surprise." So what do you think about Marcus Mariota in Tennessee? I'm so disappointed. I'm such a Mettenberger fan. I have a thing for Mettenberger, but what do you guys think
about
Mariota?
You never know. I mean, you never know what could happen. You know, certainly there's going to be some teams probably inquiring about him. Which they should. Yeah, I agree. It's funny. I think I made this comment a lot last year. I don't know how LSU wasn't better than they were when you had all those players around Mettenberger and how good Mettenberger played in college, you know, before the ACL tear. So, he's going to make things interesting on Mariota because Mariota, look, athletically, he's a special talent, but, is he a better pure passer than him? And we know how Ken Whisenhunt is. He's not a very, big fan of rookies. You know, this is a guy that dealt with some youth at quarterback when he was the head coach in Arizona, and it didn't go so well when Kurt Warner left. So, I'm not sold on Mariota in this spot. I really wish our team would have, you know, ponied up enough to go up and get him.
Look at his receiving core.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, when you talk about Kendall Wright and Harry Douglas as your two best guys,
Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker was the best pass catcher for Tennessee last year.
Well, they have the first pick, right?
He'll be okay, but he loses some value with this too.
They have pick number 33, no? First pick of the second round?
Sure, so maybe they go and they add a wide receiver with their first pick, but they also need a lot of help on defense. Honestly, I would have asked Philadelphia for the moon, and if the Eagles were willing to give it, I would have taken the deal if I was Tennessee. But if short of that, they made the right pick because it buys the coaching staff in the front office at least two more years.
Question.
Try and turn it around. And Mariota, I don't know how soon he'll be able to grasp what Whisenhunt's going to throw at him. But once he does, I'm rather confident that he'll be efficient. I think he's going to need people to make plays for him, and I don't know if he's got it.
Dynasty League, who are you taking first, Mariota or Winston?
Winston.
Yeah.
Okay. We got Jamie's losers. We talked about the Rams running backs. Philip Dorsett, Dante Moncrief, and Daron Carter are all losers. That's, yeah.
Anybody in Tennessee, too.
Drew Brees, Jamie has as a loser, as the Saints had two first-round picks, and they did not necessarily help Drew Brees.
Well, I think they got screwed by the Colts. I think they wanted Philip Dorsett. And it's not necessarily what they did on their draft, because I think they made the right picks. But I really think that they were targeting Philip Dorsett. The way that Sean Payton was talking, the rumors that you were hearing, the fit made sense, you know, to get an outside receiver that could help them. That's kind of where I'm coming from with Drew Brees, because I thought that I'm not changing in my rankings. He's still the same guy prior to the draft that he was, but I would have liked to see him get somebody else. And I think Dorsett was the guy that they wanted.
And it's not too late. Just imagine if they go and they get Devin Smith or they get Dorial Green Beckham.
They won't
or somebody else. I don't think they do either, but maybe they trade up. Who knows what they do?
Sure.
And they drafted a left tackle.
I thought the Saints were trying to trade down with all this Bryce Petty junk that was coming out.
Sure.
I thought they were trying to sell off their pick to move into round two. But I guess no one was biting. No one was buying it.
They did draft a left tackle, 13th overall, Andrews Pete out of Stanford.
Great for the run game. That offensive line is in good shape. They really fixed that, and that's going to help Drew Brees too. So let's not say Brees is a colossal bust after this.
No,
not improved.
I really thought that, you know, once you started to look through which rumors make sense and which don't, Dorsett there, and I think they would have taken him. Two picks away, the Colts, you know, screwed up everything in that draft.
And Jamie, you have Jerick McKinnon as a loser. I'm guessing that's just Peterson still there.
Absolutely.
And five is Zach Mettenberger on your loser list. Dave, did you want to contribute any more winners or losers?
I think Alfred Morris for now is a winner. The addition of Brandon Scherff to the offensive line is going to help him, but they're bound to add somebody to that running back group and take Alf off the field, and that'll hurt. The Jets DST, look at their personnel.
They were good before this.
And now they're adding Leonard Williams. If they don't trade Wilkerson, they're in great, great shape. So I think that's a defense, even with their offense being what it is, I think their defense is going to be something that you're just going to have to draft them, and you're going to have to hope that they perform. I'm kind of curious who they play in week one. I know it's not the Patriots. I'm checking right now. They've got the Browns in week one. I found my defense for the beginning of the season.
You have to draft them early because everybody's going to fall in love
with you. That's fine. If I'm going to the Jets in round 12 or round 13, that is a 25-point DST for week one.
Yeah, I think I may move them to third. I think I have six right now. I know they're in my top 10 prior to the draft. I still think the Bills have a little bit better situation than them, and certainly Seattle, but they're right there.
We got any more, Dave, or I can...
No.
All right, we got some offensive linemen going in the 20s. Interesting pick for Cincinnati is they have two tackles, Whitworth and Smith, and they took Cedric Abuhi, who's coming off a torn ACL, so they might be looking to the future.
I thought it was Abuhi, like Bob Abuhi.
Abuhi, could be. And DJ Humphreys went to Arizona, 24th overall, and only Oakland ran for fewer yards per game than Arizona last year, and the 3.3 yards per carry were the lowest in the NFL.
Andre Ellington surviving so far.
So far. He's another guy that, you know, Lamar Miller-esque, you know, escaped the first round without anybody altering his situation.
I don't know. How significant is Manny Ramirez going to the Dodgers? No, going to the Detroit Lions from Denver. He played for the Dodgers at one point and then got suspended. So, anyway, Denver actually cut Manny Ramirez way back when, and now they get him back. He's not that much of an impact player anymore, is he? They also.
Well, Detroit, you mean? Cut him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Detroit. They also drafted Lakin Tomlinson.
He feels like a throw in on the deal.
Okay.
He wasn't, you know, if you believe in Pro Football Focus's grading, he didn't grade out very well for them last year. So.
Right.
Yeah, and they drafted Lakin Tomlinson, a guard out of Duke.
I like him a lot. I was surprised he went in the first round. But I like him a lot.
Yeah, seemed like that was a bit of a surprise. Yeah. You guys have any other draft
good offensive
thoughts?
Line. What's up, Adam?
You have any other draft thoughts? We can just talk football.
I thought it was boring. I thought the first day of the draft was boring. There were only two trades. There weren't a lot of crazy surprises.
Once you got past two, it was like, okay, the suspense is done.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I was so excited because I thought, I don't really like the draft that much, but this year I was very into it because I thought the number two pick was really loaded. Anything could happen. A few days earlier, Minnesota said they weren't trading Peterson, but you still had that possibility maybe. Like, there were a lot of storylines that just didn't play out.
Right, and there were no crazy trades toward the end of the first round like there have been in the past. Mm-hmm.
There still could. I mean, you still have some veterans that may be on the move. You know, Zach Stacy, Mettenberger, you know, two guys that were impacted by the draft. Doug Martin, you know, his name was floated out there prior to the draft. You know, he could be traded.
Yep. Like, that's the thing to look out for now are the veterans that get moved. And it's not going to be the big-time veterans like Rivers and AP.
Right.
It's going to be guys like D. Martin, Zach Stacy, who knows what will happen to him. You never know who might get traded. So Friday will be interesting. It'll be fun to circle back and talk about next week on the podcast.
We can read some emails then at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is a question, a keeper question from Clay. 12-team half-point PPR league. I have the fifth pick in the upcoming draft. You get to keep one player until they become a third-round pick, moving up one round each year. Do I keep Stafford in the 11th or Lamar Miller in the 7th?
I mean, right now it would be Miller for
me. Yeah, me too. It would have to take something really crazy happening for Miller to not be the guy there. Like, they might have to draft, like, two running backs.
You wonder if, because I think this regime, the post-Jeff Ireland regime, has done a very nice job with what they've done. You wonder if they're just going to wait to see who gets cut or who does not get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And then just take somebody off the scrap heap to be a backup to Miller. Miller's in a walk year, so they may be looking at, you know, somebody to be their long-term guy, but... if it, you know, like Dave said, if it's a Duke Johnson or maybe an Amir Abdullah or somebody that, you know, has some, you know, flair to him, that's really the only thing I think that'll impact Miller at this point.
By the way, we're going to have another podcast next week to recap the rest of the draft, more winners and losers.
I thought this was our last podcast until the season.
It'll be later in the week, though, as the announcement here. It won't be Monday. Maybe like Wednesday or Thursday, guys, something like that.
Sure.
You guys are busy.
We'll change our schedules for you.
No, I'm changing my schedule for you because I understand you have other obligations.
Yes, we are back in the magazine business, and we have a magazine put out.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to take that onto the toilet with me, guys.
That's weird.
We have Sketcher Doodles next adventure.
All right, there you go. Mike from a city of Dave's choice.
A city of Dave's choice. Let's go with Mokena, Illinois. Spent some time there this past week.
10-team standard league. Should I keep Jeremy Hill in the 11th or CJ Anderson in the 10th?
Woo! Man. Those are two awesome.
How long can you keep them
awesome
for?
Awesome running backs.
I don't, it says every year they are moved up two rounds. Doesn't say any limitations on how long you can keep them.
Well, eventually they're going to get to the first round, then you have to stop.
Well, that's a long time from now.
Yeah.
Woo! If they were both in the 10th round, it'd be Anderson easily. So I guess I'm going to go Anderson. It's not
yeah. I want to say Hill just because I don't know how long the gravy train for Anderson is going
to
last.
Oh, you have to go year to year because as soon as Peyton's done, Anderson's value goes a little bit south.
So yeah. Wouldn't that lead
I'm
you toward Hill.
Hill?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going Hill for that reason. But they're both great.
Yeah,
as
nice.
I'm sure Mike knows.
Dan from Canandaigua, New York. Canandaigua?
I know somebody who would know how to pronounce that, but he's busy playing softball.
Okay. Yay!
It says, hey, Hunter, Steve, and Dwayne.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
I got it.
Wrestling?
Oh, of course.
The Rock, Steve Austin. Who's Hunter?
Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Adam.
Oh,
Triple H.
Duh. Oh, Triple H. Okay, that
the
I knew.
The COO of the WWE.
So these are the proper names of Triple H, Stone Cold Austin, and The Rock. 10-team half-point PPR league, 6 points per passing touchdown for quarterbacks. Give me two keepers. Russell Wilson in the 6th. Martellus Bennett in the 10th. Arian Foster 1st. Ingram 11th. Landry 9th. Latavius Murray 9th. Give him two.
Ingram and Murray.
I would agree.
Okay, then.
That was pretty easy, right?
That was easy. I feel like I want to talk more about the draft, guys.
Well, what do you want to say about it?
What'd you think of the Shane Ray move? What'd you think of Denver trading up, what was it, 5 spots to get Shane Ray?
They apparently targeted him all along.
Well, look, talent-wise, he's a top 5 pick. Injury and off-field situation, I mean, what a... This whole thing disappointed me because I actually spoke to Shane Ray. I know his trainer. You know, he was really putting himself in such a great situation coming off of the foot injury. And then why couldn't you wait a week to, you know?
And he will become the first player on Denver's roster that uses marijuana. So now I'm just, I feel like. You
first
know,
player in the NFL, Adam.
We know, I mean, we know it exists in the NFL. It's just you can't be dumb enough to get caught.
Well, there's like so many things at play here. It's dumb enough to get caught. It's dumb enough to get caught a week before you're about to be a multimillionaire. So stupid.
And a foot injury, right?
Huh?
And a foot injury.
He's got a foot issue too.
Yeah, but you know what? I saw him running around. He looked like a tight end. I mean, he's just physically gifted and seemed to be fine.
How about the 7th overall pick to the Falcons? 8th overall pick.
8th overall, Vic Beasley?
Vic Beasley. Now, the Falcons, bottom 5 in sacks 3 straight years, but
right,
this guy...
Right, so that's addressing it.
But
I like it.
He'll I mean, they quick. People were tearing this one apart. Because, I mean, all he can do is rush the passer. He's
right.
weak. And
he can't do anything else.
Yeah. I don't know if I take
he's
that guy.
He's one of these guys that looks like he's like an Adonis. Like, he's got arm...
He was the combine guy.
Yeah, he was the combine guy. But I think he can still be utilized properly. Against the quarterback.
This was another guy, the trainer Tony Bellani, who you know, I see usually on a regular basis in the offseason. Another one of his guys, and I spoke to Vic, who played at Clemson, grew up in I guess the Georgia vicinity. I don't know exactly for sure, but this was his dream, was to go to the Falcons, and he grew up a Falcons fan, so
cool.
You know, he couldn't be happier with the fit, but I think this is the guy Dan Quinn wanted. And he got him.
And give me best pick for you guys and worst pick, and excluding Philip Dorsett.
Excluding Dorsett?
Yeah, I need a second worst pick. Best pick and worst pick.
Fantasy, NFL, or just in general?
NFL.
Maybe Gurley at 10.
Is worst?
Is the best?
No, worst.
I honestly think it's Mariota at 2.
Is the worst?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, quarterbacks win in this league.
I'm calling him a bust. I'm just,
yeah.
I'll be on record. I had said it for Manziel last year, so I already have, I'm already 1-0. Now I'm playing with house money.
Yeah, Williams to me was the best.
I agree. Leonard Williams was who I was going to go with. And so I am.
Yeah.
That's the best.
But Dorsett's clearly the worst.
And I like the Devontae Parker
that,
pick.
That was like just, it was a it was a weird pick because he's a good player.
He's
it's
a
just
very
a matter
good
of how soon he's going to play. He's really going to muck things up for Kobe Fleener on top of Moncrief and Daron Carter. And potentially, what if he's great? Like, what if he comes on in gangbusters in training camp?
They don't need him.
Hurt Hilton and Andre Johnson too.
They don't need him.
They don't need
defense. They can win the Super Bowl. They need defense.
I think he might see the field. I think it's. I already had Andrew Luck as my number one quarterback. Now it's in cement.
Okay. Guys, thank you very much. And you're going to be on the NFL Draft Show Saturday, right?
Yes.
We are. We will see everybody online Saturday afternoon. We'll tweet out more information, but we'll be there sometime in the middle of the afternoon.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock? 3 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah. It was...
So tune in and... What are we doing? Are we taking any phone calls or is it just going to be reacting to the draft? All right. So we'll see everybody online at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Peace and love.
Good stuff. Yeah. Watch it. CBSSports.com. Our draft grades live. They give a grade for every pick. Prisco's on there. I think Brinson's going to be on there today. We had Lock and Fora on. Rob Rang breaks down a lot. We had Brady Quinn on yesterday. Jamie Erdahl was hosting. It was a very good show. I encourage you all to watch. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Woo.